You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Once again, it's the weekend, living for the weekend. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, need do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. I know if it's not, you're going to get it done. That's right. Because you don't procrastinate. You don't, say, I'm going to do it later. No, you get it done. And you get it done on time. And that's what we need. We need that kind of perseverance. We need that kind of model of getting it done on time. Not no damn CP time. Not any other time. When it must be done. When it should be done, when it can be done, you get it done, and we love you for it. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, of course, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com and click on podcasts. When you do that, you'll see African Perspectives at the top. Click on that. And then there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Wahad, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. After that, it's Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., not me, Sister POC again with her program, Revive. And then on Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., Monday through Friday, it's the Warren Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. I have unfortunate news. That's why I brought up their website of WeBuyBlack.com, because that's where you need to go. Was in the Greenbrier Mall a couple days ago, and the kiosk for WeBuyBlack.com is no longer in. They closed down. But those champ boxers, all of this stuff, the toothbrushes, everything that they have. Of course, I stated that they're trying to establish a grocery store, a supermarket, the laundry detergent, all those things. So if you go online, and of course, they got
T-shirts, sweatshirts. They got a bathroom cleaner, styling gels, and, you know, paste and grease, and a five-step facial care system. I mentioned the toothbrushes and the laundry detergent, active charcoal facial cleaners, natural deodorants, natural floral mouthwash, natural fluoride mouthwash, all kinds of good stuff. Things for the house, things for your beard, for you got that, and, you know, clothing. Just go online to WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tahembe. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything that you need for your trip is right there. The paperwork, all of that stuff is right there. He'll help you out. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. First trip upcoming is in April, April 3rd through the 13th, for $3,300, going to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 25th to June 5th, Ghana. And that's going to be $3,700. And in South Africa, Roots and Cultural Tour, November 20th through the 30th for $3,700. And right at the end of the year, December 24th through January 5th, 2021, once again, it's Ghana for $3,700. And then the beginning of next year, April 2nd through April 12th, 2021, going back to Senegal and Gambia for $3,500. These trips, brothers and sisters, has an easy payment plan, very easy, interest-free. Okay, put $400 down on deposit on your particular trip and make that happen. If you want to see photos, and I have, they're beautiful, of previous trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. Habesha. That's right, brothers and sisters, Habesha. Habesha stands for helping African. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habesha, they are doing the work. Their mission is a pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainability, agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. When you go on the website, you'll just be amazed at some of the programs, the Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots Program, Sustainability Seeds and Golden Growers. The Golden Growers is folks like myself who want to be Golden Growers. But also, too, it's the Kashi Project. And that stands for Dr. Kwaku Adura. And Dr. Adura was dedicated to research in ethnobotany and traditional medicine. And he was dedicated to Ghana. Kashi Project will provide sacred space for researching the ancient traditions of sustainability housing, holistic healing, and organic agriculture. In the footsteps of Dr. Adura, we are committed to our people, Ghana, and sustainability through natural resources in order to make Kashi a reality to the community and the people. We are raising $250,000 through various fundraising efforts. The Habesha is committed to doing our part to build Kashi in Africa. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. They raised over $125,000. So you can see they're, you know, they're getting there. $100,000 more is what's necessary. Please help them. Please help them. Also, too, when you go online to see what they've done, it's beautiful, the housing idea. It's already happening. It is happening. So this project definitely deserves, once again, to be supported. It deserves to be supported. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph Debbitt Abernathy. It's open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3. And brothers and sisters, they got everything. They got furniture. They got artwork. They got clothing. They got it all. You know, figurines. They got the red, black, and green shoes, the NASCAR shoes. They got, I'm telling you, but you know what? Most importantly, they have books.
Better is a book than a well-built house. Better is a book than a memorial plaque, because what is written is for eternity. Books. And if they don't have the book that you're looking for, believe me, they'll get it. Also, too, they have an African Holocaust Museum, and they have an African history class every Saturday tomorrow from 1:30 to 3:30. Know Thyself History Class. My good brother, Baba Olatunji, he's an instructor. But if you can't make that, but you still want that information, they have an African History Club multimedia library over now. 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. Find out from them what you got to do to access that multimedia library at the Shrine. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is located where the We Buy Black kiosk used to be. Damn, it's hurting me, y'all. I'm telling you, it's hurting me because things that we do, especially such in that way, just like us lifting us, they need to be supported by us. Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. They have fine books and postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, all kinds of figurines. They have all kinds of gifts. Contact the Medu Bookstore. They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the Greenbrier Mall. And the number to call is 404-346-3263. Contact Mama Nia, Sister Mama Nia, and I got to see her because I'm going to do my program at the Medu Bookstore. I will let you know. And if you're in the Atlanta area, please come and check it out. Another bookstore that I promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazimde Ajamu. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Brother Gazimde Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. They got books. They also have the red, black, and green shoes, T-shirts, all kind of other gifts. So check them out. Akabin Institute, Baba Baruti and Sister Ya Baruti have been educating our young warriors, and they need support. Brothers and sisters, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Also, too, if you want to use PayPal and Cash App, use the $ Ya, Y-A-A-M, Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, PayPal and Cash App. Sanjay-Haiti, that is in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelio is doing great work. Sister Gabby is fantastic. She sends me all kinds of pictures. So go to their website, sanjay-haiti.org, and check it out for yourself. And if you feel that what she is doing is worthy of a donation or ongoing donation, please do so.
This Sanjay, call is being recorded.
Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I .org. Sanjay dash Haiti. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Oh, I'm sorry. Talked about us lifting us. I didn't really do that. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Center Economics. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night at 9 p.m. That is on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And the conference is coming up in a couple weeks right here in Atlanta. Four together, so I'm saying that's four together, back together again. I love it. That's the theme. At the Interdenominational Theological Center on the campus of Morse Brown University, March 13th through the 15th, March 13th through the 15th, here in Atlanta. Come check it out. Us, lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. The Inye Sesim. Today, of course, and tomorrow, really, because the leap year today would have been the last day of American African History Month.
And of course, you know me, I'm advocate, a strong advocate for American African and American African history. In Ye Say Sim, February 27th. Whoever is unconcerned with his lineage has lost his mind. Whoever neglects his origin, his stupidity has become critical. Whoever is unaware of his ancestries, his incompetency has become immense. 15th century Timbuktu poetry out of Mali. Timbuktu poem. We have to stop equating the idea of what is modern with that of progress. The changes people produce over time to enhance their knowledge, comfort, and sense of security are primarily technology in nature, simply different ways of doing what is always needed to be done. They're not changing what needs to be done, only how what needs to be done and how it's done. Technology is technology. When it comes to technology, the true measure of importance in the spirit of its application. We have to stop creating erroneous parallels between the idea of advanced technology and the so-called Western genius, making them necessarily one and the same. We have to overcome our fixation on modern as if it's anything other than a haughty, Eurocentric temporal designation, as if it's anything other than a Eurocentric word. We have to stop equating the contemporary world order with a liberating, progressive superiority and the past with a stifling, regressive inferiority. Affirm, I'm a carrier of African cultural technology. Affirm, I'm a carrier of African cultural technology. February 28th. There is no better way to mourn for a fallen soldier than to pick up the fallen weapon. I repeat, there is no better way to mourn for a fallen soldier than to pick up the fallen weapon. David Ndaba. The elder who face graces the cover of my book, Sashi, is Nana Kwame Ahmad Abdullah. He was an African man of great power, of great wisdom, of great resilience. And, as with any of our great men, he demanded more of himself than others, knowing that wisdom is a responsibility to be modeled and that love and trust, no matter how deep and enduring, must be continually demonstrated and earned. One of my teachers, he was extremely well-read and a wise man. I sat and still sit at his feet, a devoted neophyte. His focus was unyielding and ambiguous. There was no confusion. His demands of other warriors were the same. He simply commanded that we follow the timeless tradition of the genius of our ancestors and love of family, build community, and defend nation. For him, there were no other priorities. Pan-African nationalism was the only reality he recognized as having any validity for African people. Ashe. With his transition, as with that of every warrior scholar who uncompromisingly stood on the front line of this plane, each of us must take on an additional responsibility of his work in our work. Without complaint, without faltering, without jeopardizing what we are already doing, each of us takes on that fraction of the work that our departed warrior did so that the circle remains unbroken. This is the way of the African people. In time and space, we are one army. Ashe. Affirm, my arsenal increases with every fallen soldier. Affirm, my arsenal increases with every fallen soldier. Tomorrow, February 29th. Truth tellers are not always palatable. There is a preference for candy bars. Sister Gwendolyn Brooks. I'm going to say that again. Truth tellers are not always palatable. There is a preference for candy bars. Although there is a thin line between Negroes and lost souls, there is a distinct difference. Negroes are like cattle who follow anyone with power, stampeding at the slightest threat to their illusionary security. Lost souls, on the other hand, are like sheep who wander around the political battlefield, careful not to step near landmines or shying away from those who accidentally or consciously do. Their defense against awareness is to scatter and hide, while their mindset toward African warriors is relatively the same. The Negroes' drive to act on that mindset against them is quite different. Negroes actively work to harm revolutionary Africans in the interest of their European captors, while lost souls simply blend themselves into the safety of the status quo. Negroes know what they're doing against us and are consciously committed to it. They psychologically and materialistically profit from the death of our warrior scholars. Blind fear closes their eyes to the fact that to be marked as a traitor to one's own people is the most disgraceful designation one can receive. Lost souls, on the other hand, are African folk who are just surviving with little or no conscious malice. Lost souls simply cower. They're cowards. For them, it is only logical to go with the flow, wandering around in search of divine acceptance through forgiving and cleansing the sins of other people in their prime, is their prime directive. They don't think to act at all. Affirm, I am neither a Negro or a lost soul. Affirm, I am neither a Negro or a lost soul. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. We have a caller. 447. Good morning. Okay. They just want to listen, and that's good too. You know that's good. Appreciate that. Continue to listen. I'm going to talk today. I'm from Milwaukee. And, of course, the big news in Milwaukee was the brother who killed five workers and then himself at Miller Brewing Company in Milwaukee. 447, good morning.
Yes, sorry about that. You can hear me?
Yes, I can, Brother Paul. Good morning to you.
Yeah, how are you, sir? Good afternoon, good morning to you.
Good, I'm well.
Yes, well, it's just a polite call. I'm just to say how are you, and I'm listening in.
Oh, thank you, Brother Paul. Continue to do so. I'm going to talk today about an incident that happened in Milwaukee where a worker at a brewing company was terminated again, and he won his job back because they've proven that he was discriminated against, and then they kept harassing him and so forth, and he complained, and he was terminated again, and then he just broke, and he came back, and he killed his tormentors, those who were harassing him, you know. But I'm going to have today in the next hour, a brother who is with the new Black Panther Party in Milwaukee, Brother King Rick. I'm going to be talking with him to talk about this. So I'm glad that you're on. I hope you'll stay on to listen. And if you need to, please share with us if you have, an opinion or a comment or a concern, okay?
Thank you very much. I'll continue to listen.
All right, Paul. That's my good brother, Paul, from across the pond, across the waters, and doing great work. Also, too, I talked to Renoco, and he's going to be in the UK, and he does remember you, and he appreciates that. Okay. I'm going to talk today about the Milwaukee shooting and the motive behind the alleged racism at the brewing company with a history of complaints. First, I want us to know who this brother was. It was a brother named Anthony Farrell, the possible name of the gunman who killed multiple people and himself during the mass shooting at a brewery in Milwaukee on Wednesday afternoon, was making the rounds on social media and the larger internet overnight. Well, and I've seen many of them. But the reason why I'm doing this now, because yesterday on the national news here in Atlanta, I can get a full hour of national news. Of first, I watch NBC, and then the next half hour, I watch ABC. And then this morning, I watch CBS. So the three major, I don't watch Fox at all. Okay, I don't even count them, especially as co-opted as they have been and what they have been talking about over the years. So I don't deal with Fox. But one of the things, let me say this. It doesn't make any difference. They all these news networks, all of them, every one of them, they're all designed to make sure that the idea of Caucasian supremacy is maintained, or Caucasian extremism, as I might say. And I thank you, Brother Paul, for that, because that's what they are. They're not supreme. They're not superior by no means, but they sure in the hell are extreme. And so those networks, how they dealt with this, they didn't mention the fact that this brother was being harassed. They didn't mention the fact that he was fired and got his job back, proving discrimination. They didn't mention the fact that he had been tormented again and harassed again, and that he brought to the attention of the Brewers, and then they fired him again. He didn't mention that on those broadcasts. They mentioned the fact that, oh, these guys, oh, and their families, they were this, they were that. And this guy that did it, supposedly he loved guns. He loves putting guns together. His humanity, his problem, the issue that brought this, I'm not condoning or saying that people, because if you're harassed, should be shot. There's better ways to deal with it. But sometimes you get to a point. I'm just not going to take it no more. I thought I've gone to the authorities. I thought I've done what I should have done. I thought this should not be no more. I thought the workplace should be safe for me. Miller Brewing Company has a history of discriminatory practice. In fact, I was talking with my daughter, and she says, I only remember a few people who worked at Miller Brewing Company. I was on the big jobs. You know, the Milwaukee used to be the beer capital. Milwaukee was the beer capital of this country. There were multiple national breweries in Milwaukee. Those breweries have closed down. And, of course, St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch, Budweiser, as they tout themselves as being the king of beers, you know, here in America. And, of course, many of these breweries were taken over by other breweries like Miller. Because Miller was strictly Milwaukee. Miller was at one time, I'm not sure if it still is, owned by a South African company. I believe now Molson, Coors Brewing Company, of course, is out of Colorado. And Molson is out of Canada. So I'm not sure if the South African connection is there. I don't give a damn anyway. Other brewery still being brewed, Slitz. You could still buy Slitz. I'm not sure who distributes Slitz. Slitz, in fact, the moniker of Slitz was the beer that made Milwaukee famous. Slitz Brewing Company. Then it was Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. That's still made. You can still buy that. Especially in our neighborhood. You can go into our hood and you can buy Slitz malt liquor. You can buy Pabst, of course, made Old English 800. I do a program on that, and I give the props to my good brother Alfred Coach Powell. Met Alfred Coach Powell at a AODA meeting or a conference in Milwaukee, and it was a great meeting. It was great meeting that brother, and would love to hear from him, see him again. Would love to have him on the radio program to find out what he's doing. Should do some research to find that brother, because he wrote a book called Message in a Bottle, The 40-Ounce Scandal, How the Alcohol Industry Targets Our People to buy their products. He talked about the symbolism, and the symbolism on these bottles is deep. I mean, it's deep. But that's another subject. We're going to get back to talking about this situation here at Miller Brewing Company. Has a history. So Brother Anthony Farrell was being used. His name is going all around the social media, and he is the person that did it. And a journalist, Matthew Key, cited law enforcement sources when he tweeted on Wednesday night that Anthony Farrell was a longtime employee of Miller Coors, Molson Coors, with over 20 years of work history at the company. Pharrell was also identified as American African. No information about the victims has been released. Of course, one was Latino, and the other four were Caucasian. And the picture they have, a very nice picture, his, believe it might be his wife, because he was married, because that's who contacted, his wife contacted King Rick, and I'm so glad that she did to get the story out, because how they make this brother look. Because one picture showed him, he's at a Disney t-shirt with a Detroit Tigers baseball cap on. Then the other picture, he has a Milwaukee Brewers cap with his wife. He's smiling and hugging her, you know. But the pictures that they showed of him on national TV, those pictures made him look criminal. Those pictures were designed, and what was stated was designed to make this brother look like he was a madman, that he had lost it. Reddit, the popular social news aggregation and content website that fosters these types of online conversations, devoted an entire post to Anthony Pharrell and provided two photos of the perpetrator of today's shooting in Milwaukee. While there was no official indication of the motive behind the shooting, the website called the Hispanic News Network reported without any confirmation that racist taunting by employees targeting an American African employee might have led to five employees being fatally shot, including the shooter at the plant, formerly known as Miller Coors. A Twitter account credit to the name of Tony Muhammad. Tony Muhammad's a good brother in Milwaukee, know him. In fact, I've tried to get him on the program. I'm trying to try again, but because Tony Muhammad puts out a lot of good memes, a lot of good information that I've read over the years on Facebook and in my email. So why isn't local, this is Tony Muhammad, why isn't local news asking the question why? Miller Brewing Company in Milwaukee has a long and present-day history of employment on-the-job discrimination against American African males. The Milwaukee Police update regarding the critical incident that occurred on the 4100 block of West State Street. That's where Miller Coors is located. The family staging area, and that talks about where that is. Okay. Muhammad, Tony Muhammad, also posted from his Facebook account that the gunman recently filed a lawsuit against Miller Coors' racist work environment. The racist Caucasian co-workers had hung a hangman's noose on his locker. He was hired after the lawsuit 5 years ago. He was rehired. So they hung a noose. He complained, and then he was fired. Then he was rehired. The Caucasian male harassment continued when he returned to Miller Coors. The shooter, Brother Pharrell, is reported to suffer racial discrimination and harassment from Caucasian co-workers. He recently filed a civil lawsuit against Miller Coors' racist work environment. The racist white co-workers had hung a hangman's noose on his locker. He was rehired after the lawsuit. That was 5 years ago. He's been there 20 years. The white racist male harassment continued when he returned to work at Coors. The racist Caucasian co-workers, this time humiliated the 51-year-old American African male by passing spade cards on his locker, they were pasting spade cards on his locker and making his workday unbearable with these antics. The brother eventually was forced over to the edge of sanity to make a violent act to end Miller Coors' workforce racist harassment. Perhaps with his most recent reported incident of workforce Caucasian male discrimination and racism against American African, Miller Coors in the city of Milwaukee will make fair and equal employment for all matters of private and public policy. Miller Coors has a long history of tolerating its Caucasian brewery workers' racist behavior and acts against American African workers. We have a caller. Caller 646. Caller 646.
Yeah, Oshie, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's happening, Jay? How are you?
I'm good, brother. Was that one of your boys that did that that how could I say killing?
Yeah. Well, I did not know this brother that did it. You know, he was 51 years old. He's a resident of Milwaukee. You know, he had worked there for 20 years. You know, and they messed with him before. He was terminated. He fought to get his job back. He got his job back, and then that was 5 years ago. And they continued to mess with him. And then he complained again. And then after the complaint, of course, fall on deaf ears, they fired him again. And I guess this time the brother said, I've done all I can do. I can't stand no more. And he just took care of it the way he felt he had to take care of it, because he wasn't going to get the redress from Miller Brewing Company. He probably going to get it from the court. So he just, you know, he just.
Is that a good paying job in Milwaukee?
Very, very good paying job from a manufacturing standpoint, Miller Brewing Company, yes, it is. Great benefits. People work there a long time. Especially, I mean, let me be honest, it's probably better in its administration and management, because I do know, I remember some cats who worked there. They were paid handsomely, you know. But even in the production, he was an electrician. So I'm quite sure he was getting paid pretty well, you know. And, of course, they have some decent benefits.
You know what that says a lot about is the mindset of an individual that has a skill that doesn't branch out on their own to do their own thing when they under that type of stress by these devils. Now, you know, I know you know Brother Ralph is an electrician.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ralph, I guess, worked for people for a long period of time, but now Ralph is his own boss, and he's doing quite well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot has to do with the mindset of acceptance by this no good, filthy, stinking devil. See, unfortunately, we don't look to gain experience and then branch out on our own.
Well,
because of a lot of different circumstances.
Exactly. And the number, Jay.
That's what
Jay.
We need to work towards.
But Jay, the number one circumstance is that you have a job and that provides you some security. That provides you a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks or how you're paid. And you also have benefits, health benefits, which are very key and critical. You know, you also have a pension plan. You also have other methods. So that's a point of security for a lot of individuals. But let me say this to you. Those kinds of jobs, particularly in the Midwest and definitely in Milwaukee, are literally gone. Miller Brewing Company is the few manufacturers left in the city of Milwaukee.
Right. No, I understand that clearly. But, you know, it's tragic on so many different levels, because I would assume that the man has kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for him to get to that point to where he had to kill a couple of them, that was only going to lead to imprisonment or him doing what he did, take his own life, which in all honesty is kind of tragic if you think about it. You know what I mean? And, you know, I always say, it's just a shame, man. And to only get five is not rewarding enough under those type of circumstances. And to then
let me just say this, Jay. You know, maybe the five were... Definitely the five that he wanted to get who kept messing with him. And if that's the case, so be it. You know.
So be it.
Because he knew too.
It seems as though he got the main culprit.
Well, let's say that.
Tormenting him the most. So, you know, all glory be.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, just like, when you know, Jay, who my favorite is, and that's Colin Ferguson.
Oh, brother.
I love Colin Ferguson.
Let me tell you, I had the chance to be at the trial. I sat in on the trial.
Oh, did you?
For a couple of days.
When he defended himself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he defended himself. Yeah.
Yes, but he also, he had assistance with him. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was William Kunstler and Ron Tubi, you know, two of what they call leftist attorneys.
Yeah, yeah.
With their assistant. It was an amazing thing to sit in the courtroom and to witness Colin do his thing. Yeah, man, I had to get up early in the morning
to get in line, huh?
To take the train to go out there and sit and witness it. But it was one of those things that you had to do. I tell you another trial that I went to the first time that I ever went to a trial, I think it was the first or the second time, was the great Larry Davis.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember Adamadou Hakim, the great Larry Davis. He, you know, did his thing in the Bronx, but the Bronx was closer. But yeah, I've always been one that tried to go into a trial for a day or two just to witness when it's a real sensational case. It was just one of those things that I got enjoyment out of doing back then. I haven't been to a trial in a long time though. Now I went one day to the Central Park 5 trial too. So I've always been one of those because back then in New York you had, you know, brothers that would support, you know, certain things that happen in the community. Right. Now I don't know if they do that, but you know, Milwaukee is it a really racist?
Milwaukee is probably the most segregated, one of the most racist cities in this country. And I know there are a lot of cities that would say you could make that claim about them too, because you got to understand, Milwaukee is not some kind of entity that is outside of what America's about. Milwaukee is just like really what America is about. Just like when you talk about Donald Trump and his minions and the people that follow him, that's the same mindset. That's the same mindset. I remember my grandson called me, my youngest one, called me from Milwaukee, and he said, Babu, he said, I was learning today about the open housing march with a lady. I said, oh, Val Phillips. He said, yeah, that's it. I said, yeah, I was there. I knew you was there, Babu. I was there. When we crossed the viaduct, because Milwaukee has defined lines of segregation. There was a viaduct that separated North from South. And at that time, American Africans could not nowhere live on the South side of Milwaukee. They would be harassed. They may even get firebombed, you know, because even when we marched across there, they threw bricks and rocks at us and bottles and so forth, you know. And I was one of the last times I did that. You know, I was a teenager. I was a teenager, you know. But my point being is that that is Milwaukee's history. You've seen the situation that happened with the basketball player, Milwaukee Bucks, Brown. And he wasn't doing nothing. And they wound up, you know, jamming him up. I mean, that is Milwaukee's history. You know, Milwaukee had a police chief. Milwaukee had a police chief who was just like Bull Connor in Birmingham, Alabama, Harold Breyer.
Whoa.
You know, I'm talking about just like that in his mentality. He openly said, we want to keep the South Side of Milwaukee from those other people who bring crime and so forth.
I know you know him, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you would have to as a fire chief. You would have to have and to react. Were they as blatant as their behavior whenever they dealt with you, or were they at least able to control their madness?
Well, let me say this. I was involved with the NAACP back in the early 80s when the police department killed a brother named Ernie Lacey. And at that same time, what became known was a officer who was on his deathbed who was involved in a situation with a brother named Daniel Bell, where a police officer killed him and put a gun or a knife on him to justify that killing. That officer knew that was wrong, but he lived with that for, because Daniel Bell happened in the 50s. And so in that early 80s, on his deathbed, he stated what had happened. And that officer, the one who did it, was arrested. I'm not sure what happened. He was pretty old at the time, too. But my point being is that Milwaukee has had that kind of history. You know, when police would shoot somebody, oh, I slipped up the steps, I had my gun out, I fell up the steps, and bam, you know, shot her right in the chest. You know, had a history of this. Once again, Milwaukee is still known as one of the most racist cities in America. And now there's this huge issue, because why? The Democratic National Convention is going to be in Milwaukee. You know,
oh.
And I'm, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You write about that.
Yeah.
It's the most fitting place for the convention, if you ask me, because all you're dealing with is a bunch of hypocrisy of racism, sexism, classism, and BSism.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things is that the city of Milwaukee, which is Milwaukee, is about 45% us. That's right. Milwaukee's size is like about 650,000, about 200,000 is us.
Whoa.
Or more is us. And yet it's not reflected. In fact, the fire department, which has been downsized since I left, but today we're less than 10% of the population on the fire department.
10%. What was it when you was there?
We got to a high of around 17, 18%. You know, and we naively, in our naivete, thought they were going to try to maintain that or increase that, particularly since the population was increasing. But no, that's like many fire departments across the country. That's a history of fire service.
The fire department, I tell anybody, the fire department is one of the best jobs you could ever have, as long as they ain't no damn fire. I got a friend of mine that's with the fire department that work maybe 2-3 days out of the week, and the third day is overtime.
Yeah. It's the best.
I mean,
you know, Jay, it's the best job you can have working for somebody. It's the best job you can have working for somebody, as I always say. The fire department.
Listen, Oshi, if they got it to where they got it in New York, where you do a 24-hour shift and you get 2 or 3 days off, ain't nothing in the world like it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Nothing in the world like it. I know people that done went to law school and everything. But listen, I'll let you get back to what you're doing. But let's say a prayer for the brother's family.
Oh, no doubt.
Because I know he did the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, I'm just, because of this coronavirus or whatever the hell the virus is, they haven't been able to really dehumanize them that much, which is good. So long live the brother.
Well, let me tell you, you're right, Jay, but let me tell you, they're definitely trying. So I got my brother, Brother King Rick, the new Black Panther Party in Milwaukee, the brother's wife.
Is that that big 6'7" brother, I think it is.
Yes, it is.
All right. I've seen him. I really enjoy him.
Okay.
When he do his thing.
I do too. He is. I love him. So, okay, Jay, you just hang on, because I'm going to go to a break. When I come back from the break, we'll have Brother King Rick of the New Black Panther Party on to talk about the shooting in Milwaukee by Brother Farrell. So we'll deal with that. All right, Jay, thanks a lot, man. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, and followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on the Motherland Media, on timeforanawakening.com. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, on Friday's Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness on Blog Talk with my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. The number to call is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. We're getting back to the discussion. And the reason why I wanted to have this discussion now, because of what I seen on national news yesterday, as I stated, here in Atlanta, we have the fortunate, I don't know how fortunate it is, but we can see the national news for an hour. And I watch NBC and followed by ABC. And then in the mornings, I watch CBS. So I had a touch of them all, and they all presented the situation as if this brother just lost his mind, and for no reason, never stating the fact that he had a lawsuit against him, never stating the fact that they harassed him and so forth. They just think that he lost his mind. So I have a good brother here, a young man who I saw grow. Yeah, Jay, you're right. He's about 6'7", 6'8", but his heart is just as big, and he loves us. He loves our community. That is Brother King Rick from the New Black Panther Party in Milwaukee. Brother King Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing blessed, Brother Oshie. Just a correction, man. We're the original Black Panther, not the New Black Panther Party. Okay. We're the original Black Panther Party.
Well, that I stand corrected. That's right. The original Black Panther Party of Milwaukee. Brother right. Mike McGee and all the other brothers in the Black Panthers from decades ago. I even attended some meetings, and I was out there with Teju and all the brothers back in the day. So I appreciate you reviving it, but more importantly, having the Black Panthers grow in Milwaukee to be an organization that will not take nothing from all those people who are in our community. Anybody who does something wrong, they must fear the fact that, you know, if there's no justice, there ain't going to be no damn peace.
And that's how it's supposed to be, my brother. Yes, you know, as we all know, and as the world knows, Milwaukee is the most racist and hyper-segregated city in the country, in America. And Wisconsin is the most racist and segregated state in Wisconsin. And this incident that occurred at Molson Miller Coors Brewery in Milwaukee was a dichotomy of what's going on in Wisconsin, and especially in Milwaukee. And it's all over the country also.
Yes.
But Milwaukee has a certain kind of racism, brother, and you know that because I grew up here. I grew up under you, Teju, Command McGee, everybody else, mm-hmm. those other people. And we know that Milwaukee has always been like that.
Yeah.
And for
yeah.
this brother to be subjected to racism, to be subjected to a noose hung on his locker, subjected to playing cards taped to his locker, spades playing cards, and then he reported it to the HR department, and they didn't do anything about it. They decided to fire him a second time. So we got to understand, brother, the cause and effect of what's going on here. You know, people want to vilify this brother,
yeah.
and they want to vilify his family. His family has received death threats. and whatnot, and people aren't looking into the true story behind what's going on here. And we, as the original Black Panthers and people in the community, we want to get the story told. We want the story to be truly told, and we want people who are responsible held accountable for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean obviously Miller Coors is responsible. Has just like when the city messes up and there's discrimination found out and so forth, it is the department, it is the city, and therefore it is Miller Brewing Company or Miller Coors, Molson Coors, whoever the hell it is. They are responsible for the work environment that goes on at that plant. And from my understanding, and you can correct me, it has a history, a long history, you know, of discrimination. Because my daughter, she was saying she didn't remember just a few people who worked at Miller Brewing Company from back in the day. That was a prized job from a manufacturing standpoint, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know, it was good pay and good benefits and so forth, you know. So not a lot of us worked there, you know. And those that did, obviously, you know, because of the previous suits from back in the 90s to this present, you know, where Miller Brewing Company failed to deal with people who were harassing other people.
Yes. Yes, and they try to continuously sweep it under the rug. They try to continuously say it doesn't exist. And you've got employees who are speaking out now, white and black, who says that the environment is racist and it's hostile there. Mm-hmm. And they're speaking out now. And we need to let these national media people know that there's a story that must be told in regards to this, and the truth must come out. And you all need to stop vilifying this brother. He has sacrificed his life for the good of what's going on. Now, what happened is a tragedy. We cannot deny that fact. There's no doubt about that. It's a tragedy. There are victims here, but there's just more than those victims. The victims is the community. The victims is the families of both parties involved, every party involved. We are victims here, too. But the racist environment in the city of Milwaukee has contributed to all of that, and no one is saying anything about that.
Well, you know, to me,
we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Very few people are.
Exactly, and thank God for that, because if I didn't know, and I was not from Milwaukee, when I saw the national news yesterday, like I said, I had the opportunity to see both ABC and NBC on national news, and then mm-hmm. I check out CBS in the morning. Gayle King, yuck. You know, but all three stations.
Oprah's girlfriend.
That's right. There you go. But all three stations painted a picture of this man. In fact, one of them stations said, yes, and he liked to build guns. You know, that he was somebody who was kind of like teetering on that deranged piece, and they just suddenly lost it for no reason, has the piece said. There is no reason that we can come up with why this happened. Oh, yes, there is.
Yes, there is. Oh, but that's how they portray us.
Yeah.
Now, when you have all these other mass shooters that happen to be white, they say they had mental illness, the Dylan Roof situation, the individuals who shoot up the movie theaters, the colleges, the universities, the malls,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they don't vilify them as much as they're just trying to vilify this brother here. You know, and as I stated before, it's a tragedy all the way around. We got to remember, this brother had a family.
Yeah.
He had a wife. He had children.
Yeah.
He had brothers, sisters
right.
that respected and loved him. And he had no history of mental illness. Now, we all have our breaking point. We all do. And people handle it differently. And this brother was subjected to racist indignations and racial discrimination, and he has a suit against them now, and he was previously fired and then made to rehire him back from the union and the government. So what is that saying about Miller Coors?
Yeah.
What is that saying about them? What's that saying about the environment there?
Exactly.
Why did it have to take this tragedy to wake them up?
And see, now
it has been handled accordingly.
Right.
A long time ago, brother.
Oh, Brother King, what happens a lot of times is that they'll kind of deal with it haphazardly and thinking that it'll just go away. They'll deal with it just piecemeal or sugar-coated, so to speak, and then hopefully that'll just go away and it'll be back to business as usual. See? Right. And so when they you know, they talk about it for a minute and they talk about we're going to do some training, you know, making sure that we have a safe workplace. There's no sexual harassment. There's no racial harassment going on in the workplace. We'll have them come in for a training and sign a piece of paper that they've gone through the training and now they understand. That ain't worth the paper, damn it, it's printed on. And that ain't even worth the workshop that they have, because a lot of them, that is their mindset. And here's another kicker. When you have a person like Trump, that emboldens a lot of that behavior, yes, because of how and who he is and what he does. So there are those who feel, hell, I can say this. You've seen what happened once he became president. There was a enormous amount of discrimination against people of color and women. They were taking jihabs off the sisters' heads, the Muslim sisters' heads.
Right.
They was giving Latinos a thing, a go back to where you came from. You know, so I'm saying this president, which I don't even like to call him President Trump, has created an environment where those kinds of things and mentalities can fester. Now, I'm looking at a picture of the brother right here of Anthony Farrell. He's 51 years old. And this picture is what I've seen online, because let me tell you, I don't know if you've seen it, King, but the picture I saw of him on all three networks, he looks, you know, it's almost like a mugshot. Because what do they want to do?
Well, it was a mugshot from 20 years ago, Ocean.
Oh, it was? Okay. Okay.
20 years ago. They put that picture up of this brother from 20 years ago.
Because
I don't know what he was arrested for, but why would you do that? You would put a picture of a 20-year-old mugshot of him instead of putting up recent pictures that were all over the internet and was all over social media in Milwaukee. But you chose to make this man look like he's a monster.
Exactly.
You chose to make this man look like he didn't have any reasons to do what he did. And as I stated previously, it is a tragedy. There's no doubt about that. But there's a cause and effect of why it happened.
That's right.
And nobody is addressing that issue. But we need to understand the attitude and environment in Milwaukee and Wisconsin and the Milwaukee County and the suburbs. You know, they permeate that, brother. They they promote that racism. You know, if I can give you some examples of what's going on. I don't know if you remember, and this just goes to show you how the racist environment is in Milwaukee. Now, I don't know if you remember the doctor at Children's Hospital who threatened to lynch a black employee there. You remember that story?
No. No, was I gone already? Because I probably would have remembered it if I was around. I might not have been around. Might have been gone already.
A doctor from Children's Hospital.
Okay.
Threatened to lynch a black employee. So we went down there and we got that doctor fired. And there's another incident at Denco Manufacturing where a white employee made a hangman's noose and asked a brother to stick his head in the noose.
I'm sorry to laugh, but that's crazy.
That's crazy.
And but once again, that's
how the environment is here.
Exactly. Exactly. And because many of them think that there won't be any repercussions. There won't be any consequences if I do some crazy stuff like this, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you also had the incident at Bryan and Stratton College where the basketball coach called one of his players the N-word twice.
Yes, I remember that. I remember.
And then, you know, you have the Brown Deer Police Department where they shot the individual and his back was laying on his stomach. You know what I'm saying? And then just recently, a lot of people don't know, at the Roundy's Kroger warehouse in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, you've got supervisors calling people the N-word quite frequently in meetings and whatnot, and they're still employed there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is the environment that we have to go through here.
Because we went through some of those kinds of things in the Milwaukee Fire Department, my good friend, Brother Everett
Crowcock.
Yes,
sir, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So I'm saying, you know, what happens is just a microcosm of what happens across this country. I don't think there is no place in this country of a major city where things are ideal, where people are respected for who and what they are, and they're allowed to work freely without being challenged or without being harassed, without being name-called or denigrated or demeaned. You know, not in Milwaukee. That's for damn sure. And hell, not even here. Not in the South. So, I mean, you know, I've just, like I said, I understood what the network was doing. I understood when they had the press conference, when the mayor was there talking what he was saying and all the other ones, and they stand behind him, and then they had an official from the Miller Coors. He sounded like he had an accent. Maybe he's from, you know, a Canada. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But you can hear him. You can hear him talk about these people who died. They were good right. men. They were good family men.
Right.
Da 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 da.
Right.
You know.
Right. And a lot of people don't know, but there's some information out there that one of the individuals who was killed was the same individual who put the noose on Brother Pharrell's locker.
Well, that's my. You know what? That's my hope. I don't want to see nobody killed, but this man was pushed to that point. He was right. pushed to that he point. He felt he had no alternative. Number one, he was harassed and discriminated against. He won. You should have left him the hell alone. But yet, exactly. no, you still tormented him. You still harassed him. And then when he brought it to the attention of his employer, he was terminated again. So he felt again. That he had no, yeah, he felt he had no alternative. And so he was going to be committed to getting those individuals who did that. And so if those are five individuals that messed with that man, I'm sorry to say, you got what you deserved. Now, I don't believe
well, you
that.
Know,
I don't, you know, let
you
me
know,
just
as
say
Malcolm
this.
Malcolm stated about the chicken coming home to roost.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying.
That is an example of it.
I'm saying, no, they didn't deserve to die. But they pushed a man to a point that he's willing to kill your ass if you keep messing with him. And then he, when he got fired, because, hey, he has a, you know, he has a wife, he has children, he has a home, he has all these. Now he's terminated again. You know, he felt that, hey, I have no alternative. Now, have you spoken to his wife recently?
I've spoken to a family member. You know, they're grieving. You know, they want some privacy so they can adjust to what's going on. And it's important that we respect that.
Yes,
I mean,
definitely.
This is devastating to them. You know, like I said earlier, the family is receiving death threats. People are trying to capitalize off of this. The people who have no concern for our community or no concern about what's going on, they're looking at it from a monetary standpoint. Now, this tragedy, and it is a tragedy, must be assessed on why it occurred, and we have to make sure that we can keep this from occurring again if we can. And right. that's where the responsibility comes at, not only from Miller Coors, it comes from the city of Milwaukee, because, you know, Mayor Tom Barrett, I call him Bad News Barrett, and I call him Boss Tweed, and if that people don't know who Boss Tweed is, they can look up Tammy Hall.
That's
but
right.
A lot of people don't know, Brother Oshie, that last year on Juneteenth Day, Bad News Barrett, the mayor, took a picture with an individual who had the word nigga on the shirt. That is the environment that we have yeah. in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with our top elected official. He had a big old smile on his face and took a picture
yeah.
with his brother yeah. on Juneteenth Day with the word nigga on it.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you got to giggle or laugh to keep from being so damn angry because of the ignorance and the stupidity of our community. But one thing is for sure, we have to understand why that is and what is the root right. cause of it, you know, because exactly. We're very quick to blame ourselves for a condition that we did not put ourselves in, that we were conveniently steered to be put in, and as opposed to talking about the people who put us in that condition. So, and that's what we're talking exactly. about today. That's that same people who developed that kind of mentality where these kinds of behaviors can consistently fester and operate in. When they can say stuff right. to you, when you can put your arm around a man and take a picture as the mayor of the city of Milwaukee and says, this is my nigga.
Exactly. And the funny thing about that, Brother Oshie, is he has not addressed it. You know, the original Black Panthers have disrupted the Democratic National Convention meetings with him there. We brought it out there. We brought it to the media. And the mayor still refuses to address it. And a lot of people accept it.
Yeah.
How can you accept that?
Well, one of the things for our community in Milwaukee is you know, we want to constantly go along to get along. There's not a lot exactly. of progressiveness in the city of Milwaukee, unfortunately. In fact, that's why a lot of people, brothers and sisters, move out because they feel that it's always the same old, same old. The status quo is constantly being maintained, even though our numbers have increased in the city of Milwaukee, but our influence has not increased. We have gatekeepers.
Right.
We have the Boule. We have individuals.
Oh, yeah, you know, we know them very well, Brother Oshie.
Yeah. You know, we have people who are buffers to keep us at bay between our desires and willingness to participate openly and freely against, you know, those who are controlling the system. Those brothers right. and sisters are buffers, and they right. act in that manner. Right. So,
and not to mention, you know, we have certain people who are community activists, black churches, that those kind of people that get grant money, political favors, mm-hmm. to be quiet, to be demure, to be docile,
yeah.
to be told when to say something and how to say it. We need to call those people out, yeah. too. Because Milwaukee, as you stated, it's over 60% black and brown. That is a lot of power.
Yeah.
People don't understand that the power has always been in the hands of the people. We just need to use it effectively.
Well, see, the thing is this, Brother King, is that now Sister Lena Taylor is running. And if all the brothers and sisters and all the Latinos and those individuals and indigenous people come together and vote for her, she'll be the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. No doubt about that. But the fact is there's a lot of our people, a lot of our so-called church-going people, a lot of our older people will continue to vote for the person that's in right now.
Exactly.
You know, that's just a sad reality. It's just like in South Carolina. No way in hell, Biden shouldn't have ran. His time was many years ago when he kept losing. You know, when he kept losing. Biden shouldn't have ran. But now he's right. going to win South Carolina tomorrow. Going to give him a boot, but it ain't going to mean shit because come Tuesday, on Super Tuesday, he's not going to get the kind of support across those, I don't know how many primaries it is, whatever it is, he ain't getting it. And I think that'll be time for him and some others to think about getting out, unless if they stay in, that would make Bernie Sanders' position even stronger. Although I don't give a damn about any of it, but I can talk about it and make a point on it. But, you know, to me, as you know, as old as I am, and I've been seeing stuff since the 60s, late 50s, Eisenhower, and ain't nothing changed.
Right.
You
right.
know,
and people
not fundamentally.
Understand that.
And not fundamentally, ain't nothing changed. And so, to right. me, you know, when you look at Milwaukee and what Tom Barrett has done, he's made sure that the downtown area, made sure that the east side of the Milwaukee, along the river and
yes,
so forth,
sir.
All that looks good, but you can still
yes,
see
sir.
Some serious poverty, you know. yes.
In the black and brown community.
Yes.
Because the people don't understand and realize that in the downtown Milwaukee and the upper east side, there is over $6 billion worth of infrastructure, and it's still going on now, especially with the Democratic National Convention coming to Milwaukee. $6 billion. In the Upper East Side and downtown Milwaukee. But in the black and brown community, you're giving us crumbs, which is a drop in the bucket.
Because I know
nobody wants to address yeah. that effectively.
Yeah.
They don't want to come up with a serious economic development plan and implement it for the black and brown community, because poverty makes money for Kamini Hall and for mm-hmm. Boss Tweed and for people in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? They want to keep the black and brown people downtrodden. They want to keep us uneducated. They want to make sure that we're incarcerated, because as you know, 53206 has the most
yeah.
incarcerated rate for black men across the country.
Across the country is the
you
most
know?
Incarcerated zip code. In fact, they made a documentary on it. 53206,
right.
city
right.
of Milwaukee.
Right.
Most
right.
I mean, where the majority of households are female-headed households.
Yes,
where, you know, I mean, you know, if you want to look at America and what America really does and what it means to those of us who have the least, look at Milwaukee. And
the
then
worst
to,
place to raise a black family.
Yes. I mean, these things came out years ago on various publications, Black Enterprise Magazine, Essence Magazine, that are publications. And it could be stated European publications.
Oh, yeah.
Same
Most
thing definitely. About Milwaukee, because the information, it is there. The statistical information, it is there, you know? And now, as I just mentioned earlier before you came on about the Milwaukee Fire Department, my good brother, Brother Everett Krokoff, who I worked with many times for mm-hmm. many years when I retired. He's now retired, but he also now works on the Fire and Police Commission. But he's a lone voice there because the Milwaukee Fire Department, we only have less than 10%.
of our community of American African people working on the Milwaukee Fire Department when we're about 40%, what are we, about 40-45% of the city's population?
No, we're over that.
See?
Ooh, yeah, we're over that.
See? And but yet, a city job. And see, that was always my avocation, always my push, that this is a city job, a public works job. The taxpayers of the city pay for this service. So in the police department, the fire department, education, sanitation, whatever, it should be reflective of the city it serves. Because if it doesn't, that's like taxation without representation.
Representation.
You know?
Yeah, that's why we need to have a tea party.
Yeah, a real tea party.
Be a black tea party.
That's right. That's right. See? So, I mean, you know, when we talk about what's going on, you know, we got to really talk about what's going on. You know, we got to dig deep instead of the surface. And that's why I appreciate what you have been doing. And, of course, Brother Jay was on, and when I mentioned that you were going to be on, and, of course, he's seen you on Facebook, and I'm quite sure others have. I got Brother Paul from the U.K. He's hanging with me, and, you know, and it's a good brother, man. Believe me, I'm hopefully one day get over to the U.K. and meet him, and hopefully meet his father and do something over there in U.K., me and a couple other brothers. But, you know, he's listening. Yeah. So Milwaukee, historically, you know, has not fared well publicly. I ain't talking about his sports team. I ain't talking about a little something, the Summer Fest, all of that. Even that has issues, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but I'm talking about what happens politically. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying what we as black and brown people have to understand in Milwaukee is we're the majority here now. We can make or break this city if we came together and unified and stop asking for permission to speak and stop asking for things to be done. We have to get out here and demand it. We have to get out here. If we got to take it, and if we have to vote the right people in the office, we got to hold the politicians accountable. We have to hold the black boule accountable, the gatekeepers accountable. You've got all these billions of dollar companies in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, downtown, but they're not putting anything into the black and brown community. Summerfest has been here for, what, 52 years now?
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
What have they done for the black community?
Mm-hmm. It was the late 60s that Summerfest came in, the late 60s. Yeah.
Right. They have done nothing, and we're sitting here allowing them to do it. We want to wait for permission to speak. Those days are done. Those days are gone, and the original Black Panthers have been showing people we are not going to ask for permission to do anything.
Well, that's the thing. But that's why I have a lot of admiration and respect and love for you, brother, because, you know, you are fearless in that respect. I mean, if somebody does something wrong in our community, whether it is us or one of the people outside of our community, you challenge them. You visibly go and challenge them. You video it. You ask to speak to whoever's in charge, and you talk to them in a way. You know, it reminds me of when that sister who was pregnant was accosted at Beauty Island, who we call Booty Island,
yes, sir.
Back in the day. And yes, we marched on them. We marched on them every day, if you can remember, you know. And
there was
some, exactly. And there were some people in our community who waited for us to end our march that day to go up in there so they could save 50 cents on some weave. You know, I saw them in the parking lot, man, you know, but I'm saying
that shows you the mindset of our people.
Yes. Yes. Because see, we're in America. America is about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. For me, it became, I've been an advocate for us on the fire department, as you know, for a long time. And so one of the Caucasians on the fire department said, "Who do you think you are, Martin Luther King?" He probably wanted to say Martin Luther Coon, you know, like, there's been a lot of people, Caucasians, who have done that because they probably called him Martin Luther Coon so often that they still mess up today. Sports casters and weather people.
I still hear that today.
I know. So anyway, he says, you should, don't be worrying about nobody. You should just worry about yourself. You got a job. You should just shut up and be happy. But that is the attitude and the mindset. See, because it wasn't about me. It was about us making sure that the people to make sure that our numbers are reflected
on the fire department to make sure that our numbers are reflected in the management and in supervisory ranks and promotional ranks. You see, to me, that's what equality is about. That's the fact that if your tax dollars are paying for that service, you are reflected in that service from the top to the bottom. I ain't saying that we got to have those exact numbers, but I'm got to say that it should be more than 10 damn percent.
Yeah, it should be reflective of our community. It has to be reflective of our community. And the only way that's going to change, Brother Oshie, is if we go down there and demand it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we go down there in droves with people on a consistent basis, because let's be real and let's be honest, community accountability is an issue in our community. We have to be accountable for what's going on. If our children, our neighbors, our relatives are messing up, we need to make sure that they're held accountable. We also need to hold ourselves accountable for continuously allowing these situations to occur and not standing up and not speaking out against the racism, oppression, injustice, and inequality, not only in Milwaukee, but across the country. And when I say America, I say America with 3 Ks, because the laws and attitude of America were never designed to protect the people it oppresses. And who does it oppress? Black and brown people.
Yeah. Well, having witnessed what you have been doing, particularly online since I've been here, now 5 years, but I do keep up with you. As you know, we talk, and when I get a chance to see you, it's always good to see you, you know.
Yes, sir.
And what you have done in our community when you challenge some of the store owners who sell us bad meat, who disregard our sisters and sell our children cigarettes and alcohol, you know, you come down on them. But you also come down on us when we do wrong. And I love that fact, to correct our behaviors, you know, correct our behaviors when brothers are out there, you know, molesting our young girls, you know. So to me, you know, what you have done and you're continuing to do is look at our community and somewhat police our community or bring attention to areas that need attention in our community. And that's a damn good thing. And we need that, because if not, things will go on as, quote, business as usual.
Yeah, and we have a reputation in Milwaukee that, you know, when you see the strong black kings and queens in black are coming around, you know there's a problem.
Yeah.
Because we don't mess with people that don't deserve it. You know, we're not a racist group. We're not a hate group. We are against racism and oppression. Right. Those are the things that we are against. We are about making our community better. And if our community is better, every community will be better.
And that's the thing.
And it starts with us as a people.
Right.
You know, Oshie, we spend over $1.9 trillion a year on goods and services as a people.
Yeah.
That's economic power. Now, just think, brother, if we started spending that money within our community, if we started doing things with that money in our community would get better.
Yeah.
But we have to understand, we got to get out here. We got to get educated. Everybody don't have to go to college, you know, but we need to be educated, we need to be unified, and we need to hold individuals accountable, because our mantra is a complete village is our family. If our brothers and sisters are hurting, then so are we. If our brothers and sisters are hungry, then so are we. If our brothers and sisters are being treated with disrespect, then so are we.
Well, I appreciate that, man. You're constantly bringing it to the fore. You're constantly letting not just brothers and sisters in Milwaukee, and I know there are many people who have businesses in our community, don't want to see you coming, you know. I know this.
And that includes the politicians, too.
Yes, that includes the politicians, because you've gone to some political gatherings where these cats, they're afraid, they're mad, you know, when you show up, because you're going to bring to light some inconsistencies. You're going to bring to light some things that have been done or said that are contradictory to the progress of our people. So they don't want to see that. But then, damn it, don't do it.
Exactly.
You know, then exactly. Do right.
Exactly.
To me, as elected official, I'm going to be honest with you. I could not be an elected official. I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to say, as an elected official, not just in my district, but in the city, how we are treated as a people. I would be embarrassed. But yet people take, how much they make now with the fish, about $80,000 a year plus more?
Yeah, about 74 plus the perks.
Yeah, plus the perks. Yeah, you know? And yet, you know, the majority of our people, they, we ain't making that. Majority of our people in the city of Milwaukee are making around $40,000 if they're making that. Because some of them make...
Yeah, it's less than that.
Yeah.
It's really less. It's like in the mid-20s.
See, that's crazy in this day and age. That's why, I mean, you know, we're in a situation where we're just barely making it. We can barely afford rent. We sure in hell can't afford to buy a home. We may not be able to have a car. If it is, it's a hoopty. And it's hanging on, you see? And it shouldn't be that way. I know all the manufacturing jobs have left Milwaukee. I understand that now Milwaukee is the service industry. And if you're not in the management end of the service industry, you ain't going to be making much money. Because, in fact, some in the service industry will give you just enough hours not to give you benefits.
And that's crazy. And we sit there and we accept that and we allow that.
Yeah.
You know, we need to take responsibility too for sitting back and being docile and demure.
Yeah.
You know, and we got to stop doing that, because what that does, that gives the powers at B the powers over us, and we're the majority. How can that be? We're the majority, but you still have power over what we're doing because we're afraid to speak out and we're afraid to hold you accountable, because a lot of people are comfortable in their mental and physical enslavement. And there's nothing comfortable about being a damn slave.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're trained that way, and that's why I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on a system that has been created to favor Caucasians at the detriment of African people. That's a system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nationwide system. In fact, it's global. European Caucasian extremism. I don't call it white racism, because number one, they ain't white. And they ain't superior, you know. But what they are, and this is my brother from across the pond, European Caucasian extremism. They are extreme. The history proves that out.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Extremism, racism, even though there's no such thing as race. But they created that concept. They gave themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And that's why globally we have no friends. And then the last word is privileged, because they are privileged and they believe that. They believe that just because of who they are, they have rights over any and everybody else. They have that privilege. How dare somebody get a job over me? That's why affirmative action was deeply challenged, because how dare somebody get a position, an admission to college, a job like the fire department when I came on, when they had affirmative action. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, we are in a tough situation, brother. We are in a tough situation.
Well, you know, Oshie, it's up to us to change it. We're the only ones that can change it. You know, with the violence in our community, with poverty in our community, with the drugs in our community, with the issues in our community, we have to king up. We have to clean up. We have to put boots to the ground. Yeah. We have to get out in our community and talk to our young people and show them there's a different way. We have to get out in our community and patrol our community and talk to our people. We have to get out there and be seen. We have to get out there and let them know, listen, this behavior is not tolerated. This behavior is unacceptable. We come from royalty, and we need to understand that and realize that. But we also have to understand the cause and effect of why it is happening.
Right, exactly.
The chaos, the carnage, the mayhem, the violence, and the murder is a direct cause and effect of the
it's been happening.
And hyper-segregation in Milwaukee.
Yeah, across the country. Been happening.
People don't want to address that problem. Granted, we have to have accountability. Of course we do. But we also have to understand why it's happening. When your school systems are one of the worst in the country, where you have the worst place to raise a black family and black child, where you have all these negative statistical categories in a little bitty city like Milwaukee that has been doing this for years and now is coming to a head because of the crime and the violence and this last incident at Miller Coors, you know, it's putting us on blast, especially with the Democratic National Convention coming to Milwaukee. And I want to say this to those politicians and people out there. I get it. I get it was a tragedy. When it happened, you had a governor, lieutenant governor, all these major political people coming out and speaking against it. But why aren't they doing the same thing when the crime is in our community and we got women and children that are dying from domestic violence?
Every day.
But you're not doing it then, but you're doing it now because it's Miller Coors? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's unacceptable. And you want to have the flags
half staff.
Now, you want to do that, but you didn't do that for the violence and the murder in Milwaukee? No, that's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because the Miller Coors is a big company, and they donate to these political campaigns.
Sure. And
we're going to hold them accountable for that. That's unacceptable. Nah, stop playing with the people. Stop playing with us.
Yeah.
The men have to grow some cojones.
Well, some of the women are more stronger than the brothers, you know.
That is so true.
You know? But, you know, when you got this election coming up with for mayor, and I mentioned it earlier about Lena Taylor's position, you know, theoretically, if we were unified, if we understood the importance of working together and getting all of those alderpersons, all of the county execs, not county execs, but county representatives, anybody having to deal with the city of Milwaukee to use their influence, to use their positions, the clergy, to say, let's elect this sister. Let us put her in the position to work on our behalf. We have seen over the many, many years of Caucasian mayoralship, probably the only one that probably did something decent was Frank Zeidler. The socialist.
How long ago was that?
That was the 40s and early 50s because Henry Meyer. Hey, man, Henry Meyer was mayor for so long, I thought that was his damn name, Mayor Meyer. I thought his name was mayor. I'm serious, though.
Yeah. Because
he was mayor for so damn long. And Breyer kept him in there, just like J. Edgar Hoover kept those other presidents, because he had information to challenge his guys who were trying to challenge him. And that's why Breyer was the police chief all those many decades with his racist self, you know. So after Meyer, Norquist, after him, you know, even, you know, and although Marvin Pratt was mayor for a minute because Norquist had stepped down, you know, but yet when Bear was going to run for governor, he said to Marvin, if you support me for governor, I'll support you for mayor. And Marvin said, because Marvin had won a primary. He said, sure.
Exactly, sure did.
Yeah. But then once Barrett lost, he told Marvin, I can't support you because I've been selected by, you know, the Greater Goals 2000, the Milwaukee this, the Milwaukee that. The people who hold their meetings, at the top of the fister or whatever, I have been drafted, so I can't support you, you know. And to me, that says something about your integrity, something about your word, you know. And from that moment on, I had no respect. I didn't have respect for Tom Barry to begin with, but even more so, you know. So just like the police situation here, the brothers and the sisters and the men and women of the Milwaukee Police Department went through a process to select a new police chief. What happened? He, the mayor, circumvents the whole process and brings this cat named Flynn in from East Coast and pays him $1 less than what the mayor was getting and what any of those people would have gotten. And this, listen to this. And I remember because I was there at some of the first community meetings. This man said that crime creates poverty. And I said, you know, I'm at Brand. I was like, whoa, excuse me, Mr. Police Chief. No. Poverty creates crime. Poverty creates crime. Not crime creates crime. And he said it twice. I had to correct him twice. He said it again at Mac Weddle's place at Northcott. You know, but see, King, that's the mentality. That's the mentality that can create a them versus us to justify the armament that the police have, to justify the heavy handedness of the police department and so forth, to shoot, you know, and ask questions later, to say that this is crime is rampant and out of control and we must suppress it. Just like Hillary Clinton talking about those super predators. But no, if people are working, when Milwaukee had jobs, they had a low crime rate. Why? Because people were working.
Yes, sir.
They had a house. They had a mortgage. They had cars. Yes. But see, you're not going to – I know some people are working to, you know, with trying to still do some job creation and so forth, and that must be done. But it's not going to be like it was. That's a fact. Those jobs aren't coming back, regardless of what Trump has said. We got clean coal. That fool, right. Hey, man, that fool really believed that the call was going to be. I lied, man. Trump is, I don't want to talk about it. But anyway, man, I know our time is almost up, man. I really appreciate you coming on. Like
Thank
I said,
you,
when I saw this, and I know we had talked earlier, and as I looked at the national news and saw the direct, and I'm not surprised. Of course I'm not. I knew they weren't going to say on the national news that this man had been harassed. He had been discriminated against and so forth. You know, no, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to paint a picture of this man as being basically deranged. When they said he likes to make guns, I don't know if that's true or not. But because, you know, they make up stuff to vilify
you.
Yeah,
they do.
You know.
Yeah,
they,
yeah, but we do have our Second Amendment rights. So if they can do it, why can't we? If we can have guns to protect our families and our home, why is that an issue? Now, these same people who are saying that, did they say that same thing about Dylann Roof when he shot up and killed his nine African Americans? No, they didn't. Did they say that about the Columbine killers? No, they didn't.
No.
Did they say that about the people who shot up the Las Vegas concert? No, they didn't. And also the individuals who shoot up the universities, the schools, and the malls.
Right.
They
all the time
justify it as mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when it happens, when a black man does it, oh no, he's a savage. He's deranged.
Yeah.
He's you know, no. Come on, there's a reason why it happened. In every instance, there's a reason why it happened. Now, granted, it was a tragedy, and I always say that. And there's no doubt about that, but there's a reason why it happened, and that needs to be addressed as well. Because let's be honest, when Milwaukee continues to be the most racist and hyper-segregated city in America, it's only going to get worse until it gets better.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to happen. Those things are going to continue to happen. I remember when a young sister was killed by a drive-by shooting. She was in her home. And a bullet went through the wall and killed her. And I, you know, being one of the persons in our community, being involved, you know, and went to the rally or whatever, and I mentioned that these things will happen again. I wasn't greeted very warmly with that fact. But I said, these things will happen again. And they've continued. I'm talking about something that happened back in probably the late 80s or mid 80s.
80, right.
You know,
I remember that. Yeah.
See, and I'm just saying that they will across this country. They will, especially in our communities, which are the most impoverished, lacking the least amount of resources to make improvements and so forth. It's that way in Baltimore. It's that way in D.C. Hell, D.C. is the nation's damn capital. On the hill,
right.
On the hill, you can tell that mark. From the hill to our community, you don't see that poverty. You don't see trash and so forth. But you go outside of that, man, you think, this is Washington, D.C.? The nation's capital? Yeah, because the nation's capital is a microcosm of what happens across this country to African people, to black people across this country in major cities. They're always, in fact, even in Los Angeles, the most people who are homeless in Los Angeles are not Chicano or Latino. It's us.
It's us.
It's
exactly.
Us.
And you don't hear that.
No. It's
you don't
us.
Hear that at all.
You know?
And we as a community need to come together and change their dynamics.
Yeah.
Now, if and this is the truth. People might not like what I'm going to say, but weekly, black churches, their tithes and offerings are more than $250 million every week. That equates to $12 billion a year.
And what do they do? That money does not go into black banks. In fact, there are no black banks in Milwaukee.
No, it does not.
When I came on the fire department in the 70s, mid-70s, I banked at North Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I banked at North Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
From where it was to where it became on Fond du Lac Avenue. I banked at Legacy. I banked at Legacy. I had account at Legacy. You know? And they're gone. I know, you know, Columbia Savings alone still hanging on. But I'm just saying is that, and that's that way across the country. Because I was reading an article about the number of banks that have closed. And then there was a big push by David Banner, Killer Mike, and so forth to put money into black banks across the country. And I agree with it. Because if you let me tell it, we should be doing everything for ourselves. Everything.
Hello.
But, you know,
hello?
I mean, in Milwaukee, Lena's is no more.
No.
You know? And Lena's at one time had 5 supermarkets. Hell, here in Atlanta, we don't have none. Zero, zilch. None.
And that's a shame.
That is a damn shame. But all these folks here.
So much money.
Yes. Yes. And that's the point, Brother King, that we spend so much money. Whatever money comes into our hands, we have been a targeted consumer group. Everybody makes money off of us. People come here from all parts of the world and establishes stores in our community. When that temple in Cudahy or wherever it was, Oak Creek, was violated by that Caucasian right. who thought they were Arabs. Yes. Yeah, but it's a Sikh temple. But I was saying, like, that's a beautiful temple. How did they get it? Well, because they had service stations and convenience stores in our community.
Yeah.
And they don't hire none of our people. And so all of that they got goes in, and then some of them have lived in our community for a minute, and then they move out. And then another group of them come in, and they get tax breaks. And so there's these kinds of games that have been played against us, and we haven't been able to benefit because, number one, we're fragmented. You know, we're not unified. You know, the churches, and that's why I have a problem, particularly with Christian religion, is not a unifying force. We can romanticize about the days back in the civil rights movement and so forth, but even at that, we weren't marching and so forth for us to get our own. We were marching and so forth for let us get some of what you got. Give us inclusion.
Right. We want the playing field to be made level.
Yes. See? And so that's why we are in the situation that we are in. And the only way that we're going to get out of it is that we come together to deal with it. But I appreciate what you do. On a constant level, on a constant basis, bringing out all these inconsistencies, all of the hypocrisy, of the hypocriticalness of the situation, as I just call it, you know, and because they're a bunch of hypocrites, and I appreciate it that what you have done, that you staying
on
the case.
And before we go, I just want to let you know the African nation know. That we come from royalty. Our village is our family, and we have to get back to that concept.
Yeah.
Now we have to unify. But we also have to understand that all skin folk ain't kinfolk.
Yeah.
All kinfolk, however the saying goes.
Yeah.
You know, we got to understand that and realize that. But we as people need to come together, change the dynamics, because if there's no justice, then they shouldn't have any peace.
That's right. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, that was my good friend, Brother King Rick, of the original Black Panthers, city of Milwaukee. And I'm quite sure he's networked with other Black Panther organizations across the country that are doing great work. In fact, before you go, very, very quickly, I only got a couple of minutes. Tell us some of the things that you are doing, because you're doing good work. You got the giveaways that you do, the work with the kids.
Yeah.
So you don't just go out and just jam up a business and so forth. You do some work in our community. You have done great work. Please.
Right. We have our Mother's Day giveaway where we take mothers for a complete makeover, take them to dinner for mothers who have lost children to violence. We do community cleanups where we pay our children and our Panther Cubs to clean up the community, give them T-shirts, we feed them. You know, we give away brand new athletic shoes and book bags for school supplies. You know, we do a coat and turkey giveaway where we give brand new hats, scarves, and gloves to 80 children each. And then our Kwanzaa giveaway is where we take children who have lost parents of violence. We take them on a $200 shopping spree.
Outstanding,
these
brother.
Are the things that we do in the community. Yeah. We also do ACT and SAT tutoring, homework tutoring.
Yeah.
We patrol the community. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but if they would do their research, they would. You know, and then we have chapters all over the country. We even got a chapter in Nigeria now. We have a chapter in the UK that we're opening up.
So
we're across the country now, and people are listening. Also, Brother Oshi, when the Democratic National Convention is coming, we'll talk about this more later. We're going to have a day of reckoning. We're going to invite groups from across the country to come to Milwaukee for a day of reckoning.
Right on. Right on. All right, brother. That's my good friend, Brother King Rick, of the original Black Panthers of Milwaukee. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like with all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, be before Horie. Before Horie means our victorious destiny. We shall be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend, family. Peace.